did leave off at verse 7 there, and we'll go into 8. Well, let's pray. We're going to do a little review, and then we're going to get into the portion that we hadn't hit before. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for bringing us as far as you have. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for his payment upon Calvary for our sins, for our iniquities, Lord, for giving us new life, not only on this side of heaven, but also eternal life. So we're thankful for that. And there's many things that we can be thankful, even through the coldness, Lord, of the weather outside, Lord, and the comfort of our homes, and just for you supplying our needs, Lord, and getting us here this morning. And thank you, Father, for all that you do for us, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, and we ask you to bless our time in the Word this morning, Lord, and help us, Father, to see it as you would have us see it, Lord. You know, we certainly make jokes about the gifts, in a sense, there about tongues and so forth, but we know they're of you, Lord, and we just want to make sure that we are in order and that we follow according to your Scripture, Lord, and we want more understanding, Lord, there. And so here we are in this chapter, Lord. Bless it. Strengthen us. Build up your body, Lord. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we recognized, I guess, from the first chapter of this book in Corinthians here, that the Corinthians, Paul wasn't bringing this up because of the lack of knowledge necessarily of the Corinthians, but because they, verse 7 there said, so that you come short of no gift. So they understood the gifts. It was just Paul was bringing this up so that, just as many other things, right, with the Corinthian church, he wanted to make sure that they were being conducted in an orderly way, a purposeful way. There's no sense, taking a Cadillac out in the cow lot, right? You don't need to misuse the gifts. He wants them to do it in order. So, he's setting them straight here. He says, now concerning the gifts, and he had been through a rash of other things. Division within the church, sexual immorality within the Corinthian church, brothers fighting against brothers, this confrontation that you see, just being sensitive to one another, not to stumble on the emphasis on self, denial, fleeing from idolatry, keeping our eyes on Jesus. There's so many things that he would cover, but now he says, now I want to confront the spiritual gifts. I want to talk about the spiritual gifts for a while here, and I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand. I want you to know this. This is important stuff for the church to know. They don't need to be ignorant, and I don't think it was just meant for the church of Corinth. It was meant for us as well today, that we need to understand the gifts, and we need to know how God has given them. They're a gift. That's why they call them the gift of the Spirit. They're a gift from the Lord, from the Spirit of God to us. And just as it was in the day that we received salvation from the Lord, a free gift from God, unmerited by our behaviors or our warranted by our great works, it was none of that. It was given graciously. It's an act of grace from the Lord. Just as that was an act of grace, the gifts of the Spirit is an act of grace from the Lord. And of course, we talked about the diversities here, the diversities of the Spirit, of the gifts that were from the same Spirit, the ministries that were from the same Lord, and the activities that was from the same God. And of course, we see there, you know, the call out of the Trinity, the triune God. And when we look at the gifts, sometimes we get hung up in those, but sometimes, you know, if you think of the gifts, the ministries, the activity, they're all gifts, right? Everything that we are doing today is a gift. You know, we get to sit here in this warm habitat, and it's a nice place to be. And this is a gift from the Lord. You know, this ministry in which God has given us here, this is a gift, right? A gift isn't burdensome. It's not something that we dredge along. You know, like, you know, the ball and chain kind of thing. It's a gift from the Lord. You know, it's not drudgery. And then in verse 7 there, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And of course, Bob kind of highlighted that this morning. It's you know, the gifts of the Spirit are for the body of Christ. It's to build up, it's to prepare, it's to really, the manifestation there, manifestation means that the Spirit is working through us to show evidence of God. You know, it's kind of the manifestation of this of the Spirit are these gifts that show evidence, that show clarity, that this is the Spirit working, right? So when people look upon our gifts, they're not going, "Wow, you know, you've got that gift. How special are you?" You know, no, that gives glory to the Lord, you know, to the Spirit. And of course, the Spirit always points toward Jesus and gives Him recognition there. But it's this profit for all. It's not an individual thing, you know. We talked last week about the sapphiro, is the Greek word there, and it means to bring together. And we think about symphony, using some of the same verbiage there. It's really bringing together, right, different instruments from different individuals to make one sound. It's this beautiful bringing together of these different instruments, these different sounds, and then all of a sudden we have this wonderful symphony. And I told you that when I was in elementary school or middle school, I played trombone, and and I remember them first few concerts. It didn't seem like we were playing quite together, you know. When we got up into the upper grades, you know, the 10th and 11th and 12th grade, then it sounded like something, right? It sounded like it was coming together, and that is the body of Christ. With all these gifts, we're coming together. The Spirit of God is manifesting Himself such in the believers' lives that we're coming together. We're making music together, in a sense, you know. And it really is for the sake of the composer. Right? You know, "Wow, Bach wrote that," or whoever it was that wrote that symphony, right? And it's composed by all these different individuals with different gifts and so forth, and it's brought together, and it sounds great, but it's basically to highlight or point to the composer. And for us, the composer, the Holy Spirit, gives us all these gifts. And He expects us to utilize them in a symphony setting to bring it all together so that we sound wonderful and we glorify God, right? The composer, the creator of it all. So the Corinthian church here was on an individuality kind of movement. They were thinking that their gifts were special among themselves, but they didn't know how to bring that together. And Paul, I think, here is trying to unite them out of their diversity, trying to unite them. Diversity is good in the fellowship, right? We don't all have to make the corn casserole, dish, right? And be the best at making the corn casserole dish. No, we want a meal. We want a nice sit-down meal here with each other in fellowship and eat different things made by different people with different talents. And I think when we look at the church today, it needs to function that way. We don't need to get hung up on, I've got the best gift or she's got the best gift, right? Sometimes we don't necessarily recognize ourselves and our giftings as being important, but they are. No matter how small they seem to be at us at a time. I mean, sometimes I think we sit around and we think, gee, I wish I could sing like that. I wish I had that musical talent. Or, gee, I wish I could paint that. You know, when Kyle was here doing some of his painting, and remember we allowed him to do some painting up on stage here, and he would do a sermon in his painting. We would sit there and I'd be like, wow, man, I wish I could do that. No, God doesn't want us to think that way. Our gifts are made for us by our Creator. They're special for us. We don't need, all of us don't need to speak in tongues in a public setting. Right? We don't need it. But when God gives it to you, you need to exercise it for sure. You know? We don't always have to have the word of knowledge. But when God gives it to you, don't think, you know, He gave it to you. When He gives you that gift of helps, well, by golly, use it. It was given to you by the Creator of the universe. And so, when you look at these gifts, I think we have to look at them not for what they are, but who gave them. Right? Because I think we can get carried away in the charismatic movement sometimes with the gifts, because we forget who's given them. And we place importance on the appearance of gifts, not necessarily of who, why He would give that to me and why He would give that to you and so forth. But, you know, who is the gift giver? So many times are we so enamored by the gift that all of a sudden we're worshiping the gift instead of the giver. We don't sit at Christmas time and go, wow, thank you, gift, for giving yourself to me. We say, no, thank you, giver, for giving me this gift, right? And so when we receive a gift from the Lord, humbly we should go before the Lord and thank Him for that. You know, I think sometimes I even catch myself being very prideful about the gift that He gives me. In the sense that I constrain it. That I don't use it. Because why? Because I'm prideful. I don't want people looking at me. I don't want people, you know, thinking, gee, maybe he should use it this way or that way or so forth, right? I want the Lord to be glorified. I'm thankful that He gives me the gifts that He gives me. Right? The gift giver. Let's keep our attention on the gift giver. So in verse 8 here through 10, we see them define some of the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't think this probably includes all of them, right? There's probably more. I'm thinking the Spirit probably has more in mind, you know? But here are some of them. And it says, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So he gives us this list here. Of course, when he mentions here the word of wisdom, it's a unique ability to speak really the wisdom of God, right? It's not our wisdom. It really means a broad and full intelligence. How many of us have a broad and full intelligence? None of us, right? So when we speak that, we should go, wait a minute, that might have been from the Lord, right? When we speak that wisdom. It's beyond ours. It's beyond what we're naturally given. It is something that is given to the body supernaturally. Then we have the knowledge, the gnosis, the ability to declare knowledge that could only be revealed supernaturally. Blue Letter Bible put it, the deeper, more perfect and enlarged knowledge, such as belongs to the more advanced. he's the more advanced, we're not so much that way. he gives it to us, he enlarges our understanding there, he makes it deeper, more perfect. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 27, we see Paul here. He is, I was just reading this in my devotional this week and it kind of popped out. We see Paul here, he's on his way to Rome in the ship, right? And of course the ship encounters some rough waters and so forth, and of course Paul, a vessel of the Lord, speaks up. Verse 9 it says, now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. Seemingly there was probably a lot of ships now moving. People were eating again, right? And so forth. Paul advised them saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only on the cargo and ship, but also our life. So Paul says, I perceive, that word is theorio. It means to see with understanding. Paul had understanding outside himself. As we'll notice in verse 23, he says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, right? This was outside of what Paul's understanding was, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Paul, he says, you must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe in God that it will be just as it was told to me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. And of course, they didn't heed him at first. So here Paul says, you know, an angel of God who stood beside me there, he was the one that, you know, gave me this understanding, really, this wisdom, this word of knowledge for those that are there. Remember, this gift, what was this gift of knowledge that Paul received? This gift of knowledge that Paul received, it wasn't to promote him as the Mr. Know-it-all. It was to actually enhance the others that were in his midst, right? In order to deliver them safely. It was for others. And as we see, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's not a inclusive thing here. It's not just for Paul's safety. God wasn't just telling him this for Paul's on Paul's behalf. But this was meant for the ship, those that were on the ship. It was meant to save their lives. Right? So you can see, God doesn't just use these gifts for so that other people can come up to you and flatter you. Right? This is for His pleasure, and it's for the profit of all. And I think that we forget this in the church. When we see this craziness that happens within the body of Christ, where gifts are exalted above other gifts and they are exercised. You know what? When we got out of college, we went to a Pentecostal church for 5 years, where the exercise of gifts were touted. They were one that you know, if man, you felt out of place if you didn't have them, you know. But unfortunately, a lot today in today's church, instead of being manifested by the Spirit, they are manifested by the flesh, and it's very disruptive. We had services where we didn't hear the Word of God for 3-4 weeks because of the manifestation of the Spirit. Now that doesn't sound like the manifestation of the Spirit to me, right? So we got to be, you know, we got to look at this right. We got to understand that this is for the pleasure of God, and it's also for the pleasure of others. And then he says here that another by faith, the gift of faith. Is really the unique ability to trust God against all circumstances, right? Now we have measures of faith, and certainly, you know, some have more than others, and some are gifted more than others, but I think God fills the gap. He gives us just enough. Sometimes I think He gives us just enough to get us by so we don't become so prideful. Right? We don't put our faith in, it's not a faith that we have in any of our doings, none of our strengths. It's faith that we have in God to lead us, to guide us, to give us what we need, right? And I was thinking of Peter, you know, as he was there in Matthew 14, as he was, you know, Jesus approaches during this storm, and Peter goes up and says, Can I? You know, and he goes out onto the water there. In chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 8 through 32 there. Let me just read it. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they had gotten into the boat, the wind ceased. And here's a man of faith, Peter. He would be the first one to jump out of the boat onto the water. That takes a lot of faith. Takes a lot of faith. But, you know, even when he was there, he experienced the lack of faith. So he's gifted a certain amount of faith, and certainly he experienced the lack of faith. And I think there's some lessons here that would be good to mention, and that is fear. Fear can stifle our gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we see it here in Peter's life, you know, as he jumps out onto the water, and he, you know, all of a sudden the circumstances is very fearful, right? The boisterous winds. Have we ever had them boisterous winds in our lives where God's given us a measure of faith to step out, but then when we see the boisterous winds, we think, oh man, I don't want to go there. That could be pretty dangerous, and the fear takes over. And it stifles the gift that God has given us. You know? We have fear, right? There's a lot of fear that can come about by standing here, right? Anybody that has, you know, taught God's Word here has a bit of that fear when first asked. I remember the first time that Pastor Scott asked me to fill in for somebody up at the Finger Lakes. And he said, Fred, I want you to go out to Fred Thompson's church out in Auburn, and I just want you to fill in. Right? So, oh, okay. It sounded good about 3-4 weeks before I had to do it, you know. Then as I got closer to it, I, after several showers because of all the sweat, right? We get out there and, I call Fred and I say, hey, Fred, just give me some, you know, what you had in mind as far as, you know, Fred wasn't going to be there. And he said, oh, just see this gentleman here. He'll take care of everything, that and communion. And I go, communion? Are you kidding me? I had this message all outlined. I was going to give it. And then no communion, right? So I had to do communion too. So I'm like, I was fearful. Right? There's some times when you're fearful. But when God gifts you to speak, you got to recognize that he's done this. He's put you in this position. It's good to have a little bit of fear, I think, in a sense. It kind of gets rid of some of the pride in our lives. You know, allows us to go, you know what? I need the Lord for this. But then boisterous winds come up, and we're so hesitant sometimes to go into them because we fear. We fear what people think, too. We think that, well, you know, I don't always pronounce the words correctly, you know. But who really controls them all? You know, it's okay, you know. We don't have to be perfect. Let God use you, even though you're not perfect. We're all cracked vessels, right? We all have some sort of imperfection in us. Let God use them imperfections, right? Don't be fearful. And that goes with any gift. That's not just the gift of faith, right? I think up here when we were talking about Paul and you know, this word of knowledge here. Says the angel came along and it says, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. Right? There's always that time which we're afraid to step out into. Because it's not just right. We might think, oh, this isn't just right. People are going to criticize. Well, it's not about you. The gifts are about the Lord and others. He goes on here and he says, and another a gift of healing, and of course we kind of get that. I think it's pretty self-evident in the gift of healing there. And then there's the working, in another, the working of miracles. And of course, if you watched the SU game last night, the Syracuse Orange men playing basketball, that was a working of miracles. They finally won a game. And so, I was wondering, though, as I watched it. But these defy the natural laws, right? These defy the natural laws, these workings of miracles. That word there is energema. It's where we get our word energy from, energize, energetic. It's a root of that. But the root of the gift of healing, the working of miracles, often can, right, work in conjunction with each other. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. The lame man, the healing of the lame man here. It says, and Peter and John went up together the temple at that hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, whom seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked them for alms, and fixed his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them, and Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Lazarus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And really, you know, that is what they gifts are for. It's for to give God the glory there. But here, the gift of healing, the working of miracles are in conjunction here with the gift of faith, right? There's certain faith here that Peter would have to say, get up and walk, you know? And certainly, it would take quite a bit of faith for the man, the lame man, to get up and walk. But we see here gifts working in conjunction with each other. It's important to know that sometimes that's what God does. He uses the gift of, you know, say three or four different people in order to accomplish something within the body, in order to profit all through the manifestation of the Spirit. Right? That is demonstrated in these gifts. Gifts are not just for the awe. Wow, that's, you know, how many of us have said, I want to see a healing. I would love to see a healing. Well, we all love to see a healing. But what is our motive for that? Just to be, to stand in awe? Just to go, wow, that was wild, man. No, that's what you do at a football game when there's 13 seconds left and you think you won the game. You know, you stand in awe of the thing. How can the Buffalo Bills lose that game? I couldn't resist, sorry. That's where you stand in awe. No, you know, this is to profit all, right? To profit all. This is to build, to unite the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit, that's what they're for. You know, they're not to make us feel like wow, that was wonderful. Or in the other regard, you know, some people go, that was weird. I mean, come on, if we're honest, we've been at services where we go, that was strange. That was strange what happened there. No, it's to build the body of Christ. It's to unite us, to not to divide us, for sure. And I think sometimes the gifts, because of the way they're improperly handled and out of order, actually divide the body of Christ. But that's not the way they're supposed to work. That's not what's supposed to happen. And then, of course, the prophecy, you know, the gift of prophecy, the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation, always in accord with His Word, right? Never does the word of prophecy go against or add to or negate God's Word, right? They go together. We see in Paul's voyage there in chapter 27 of Acts that he uses the gift to predict, right? And he foretells, Paul foretells there, right? He's not going against what God's Word says. And then we get to the gift of the discerning of spirits. Right? The ability to tell the difference between falsehood and truth. Good doctrine or bad doctrine. What's from the Holy Spirit, what's not from the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of that gift of discerning spirit comes from God's Word, knowing God's Word. The gift that He's given us is God's Word, and certainly we can enhance our discernment by knowing God's Word, right? But sometimes God will give you a check in your spirit, you know. And when in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, we're not going to turn there, but just you can make note of that. Simon the sorcerer, right? He wanted the Holy Spirit so that he could advance his business, in a sense. And Peter discerned that, and he says in verse 23 of that chapter, "For I perceive," just kind of like Paul did, "I perceive," right? He sees something here, "that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." He sees it. God gives him that discernment. I perceive that. When Paul was in chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, when Paul experienced his first convert there in Europe, it was a gal that was a soothsayer. It says in verse 16 there, it says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.'" That's nice that she said that, right? That's very flattering that she said that, because that could, for Paul, that, hey, that's what I set out to do, and I am, and I'm it, you know. And it says in verse 18, "And this did she for many days." Boy, this doesn't get old. This gal keeps following us around and saying all these nice things to us, and boy, it just flatters us something to pieces, and she's so right. But look what Paul says. It says, "But Paul, being grieved," he's grieved by this flattery. He's not promoted by the flattery. He's actually grieved by it. And he says, he turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Pretty amazing. God gave him that spiritual discernment. Even though the headlines were good. Right? Even though everybody else was buying into it, Paul didn't buy into it. He gave him that discernment. And certain people, you know, you probably can relate to this. God will gift you with discernment sometimes. And you'll know it. Because there'll be a check, right, in your spirit about somebody, and you'll be like, something about this dude, man. He says all the glamorous, nice things. He really thinks highly of me. But there's something about him. See, it's that check in the spirit of discernment. God's gifted you with that. Well, follows this section of Scripture here, after Paul rebukes the enemy there, what follows is this wonderful discernment is that Paul is imprisoned. You think, wow, I discern that situation so well, I get to go to prison. Right? And then we see Silas and himself singing there at midnight. And the jail opens and the jailer gets saved and his whole family gets saved. See, God gifts for purposes. He gifted him for discernment in that situation. So that the masters of this girl, well, they would be so annoyed that Paul would eventually make it to prison. The jailer would get saved and his whole family. So God knows what He's doing with these gifts. When He gifts us something, you know, it's not like us. Oh no, what am I going to get that person? And you're walking down the aisle. I'll get him this. What a terrible gift. But God, it doesn't work that way. He has purpose in His gifts. I'm going to give Fred this because there's always a reason. And then, of course, we see here the different kinds of tongues, and we'll get into some of that when we get to 14 and so forth. We'll look a little deeper into the tongues and so forth. But the interpretation of tongues. You know, some people think that the tongues there, I don't know what your stance is on this, but some people think that those tongues that he's talking about is what Bob talked about, is just praying in tongues and so forth. But, you know, I don't see that here, just because there's this interpretation of tongues. So you think, well, gee, there must be speaking in tongues, and then there's this interpretation. And if you're speaking with the Lord's giving you some utterance. I don't know why you would need this interpretation necessarily. It kind of seems a little out of place. So I think it's, you know, he gives the gifts of tongues, and he also gives interpreters for those tongues in a public place. You know, I wish I had that gift this morning, because I was trying to, just before church, I noticed that the tennis match wasn't over in Australia, and it started at 3:30 this morning, and ESPN wouldn't let me listen to it in English. I had to go to ESPN Plus. I don't have that, so I had to pick the Spanish channel. So they're speaking Spanish, and I was like, man, I'm trying to figure out, what are they saying? And I could certain parts I could understand, but others I really couldn't, you know. I was thinking, maybe this is how I can learn Spanish. I just gotta listen to Spanish ESPN. But even here, right, different tongues, God gives you that interpretation. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to say the same thing every night, every time somebody stands up and speaks in tongues. We don't have to make believe. You know. God gives us that. We don't have to muster up, oh no, nobody else is, that person spoke in tongues and nobody's interpreting. Somebody's got to interpret, because the Scripture said there's got to be an interpreter, so I'm going to interpret. How many times have we seen that? Probably. I don't know. You know, I'm not judging anybody, but I'm sure it's happened when it's out of order, when it's not for the purpose of the flock, when it's not purpose for the body of Christ. Look at verse 11. It says, by one and the same Spirit works all things, distributed to each one individually as He wills. And I think we ought to underline that, as He wills. Because, you know, He the right parts for the right believers. He gives Fred the right parts. in the Spirit. He gives us many of the right gifts. Can we desire certain gifts? I suppose you can. You know, I suppose if you really want to, you can desire a certain gift. Have you ever been there at Christmas morning as a kid? You know, I always tell my parents were pretty poor, you know. But kids don't have quite the same understanding of finances as adults do, right? So I remember getting up that Christmas morning, and I'd always go out to the garage, look in the garage, just in case they got me that dirt bike, you know. Never got me that dirt bike. You know why? Because I almost got killed on one when I was when I was 16 years old. And they probably knew better. They knew the right gift to give me. When I came back in, I was okay. You know, I wasn't crumbled. All right, I came back in, we opened the presents, and guess what? I forgot about the dirt bike that I didn't get. I was satisfied with what I got. As He wills, He'll give them to us. So can we desire Him? Yeah, but don't waste your time too long there. Pursue what His will is. Pursue what He wants for us. Right? Because sometimes our motives can be wrong. Because remember, we're the cracked vessel. He isn't. He's just using us. Because He's God. He knows how to use cracked vessels. And it's for His pleasure. It's for His plan. So He distributes here the gifts according to His pleasure and according to His plan. And there's no superior gift. Some denominations, actually, in their doctrinal statements, will say that in order for you to be saved, you have to speak in tongues. There's nothing that validates that in Scripture at all. They could claim that's a superior gift. But as we'll see next week, as you know, I thought we'd finish actually this chapter, but I guess God didn't want us to. We'll pick up in chapter 12, verse 12. How's that? And Paul will explain to us the importance of the gifts to the body and its unity. You know, and there is no special gift. They're all special because they came from God who created us and has manifested His Spirit within us. So let's pray, and then we'll do one more song. Father, we thank You, Father, for Your goodness. Thank You for all the gifts, Lord, whether they're listed in this stanza of verses or not. We know that You have more. And we're thankful, you know, for some of the administrative gifts, some of the helps gifts there, Lord, and for the supernatural discerning of spirits, the wisdom, Lord, the knowledge, the supernatural tongues, Lord, speaking in different tongues and interpretation, Lord. We know that all those things, Father, the healing, they all come through You, through Your Spirit, the same Spirit, Lord, into Your people, Father, so that they can profit the body of Christ. Not be a distraction, not be chaotic, not be disorderly, but to be so that the body of Christ can come together, Lord. So we pray, Father, that each one of us, that You would show us the gift in which You have given us. Lord, that we would be receptive to those gifts, that we wouldn't desire something other than what You give to us. And have Your way with us, Lord, as we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.